Have you ever taken a little journey through the scriptures and just looked at the different scriptures that speak of us being the Lord's sheep and Him being the shepherd? So that's what we want to do today. It's an interesting comparison that the Bible makes, and we don't know a lot about it. We kind of depend on reading into history and people who knew about these things, but in the country where these stories began, they were shepherds, and they looked at God and addressed Him and saw the parallel between how they cared for their sheep and how the Lord cared for them. I think the first mention of it, of course, is Psalms 23, and that's a very well-loved psalm, and that's one of the psalms that we teach our children, "The Lord is my shepherd." But I don't think when we teach our children that those words, they have no clue. They don't even know what in the world they're learning. They don't know what a shepherd is. Maybe a figure that they see in the Christmas nativity scenes. But when you really, I'd like to look at the heart of the shepherd today and just consider the different scriptures that speak of what He is in His heart and how He looks at us and how He tenderly cares for us and what He does for us, how He corrects us, how He leads us, His heart for us. The Bible speaks of false shepherds. So it compares a false shepherd to the true shepherd. So I'd like to look at all of those things. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll be supplied. I will not lack anything. If I start to need something," the shepherd, his heart is that his sheep are cared for, are well cared for. And so he is constantly looking ahead, and it says how he prepares. Verse 5 talks about how he prepares. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So he has prepared those pastures. Speaking of that, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." One of the meanings of that is the table land that he leads the sheep up to, a higher place, a mesa. And he prepares that pasture. He goes before his sheep and he anticipates noxious weeds and he gets them out of the way. And he anticipates snakes and other poisonous animals. And he rids the countryside of those. And he anticipates places where the sheep could slip and fall, and rocks and all kinds of things that would make it more difficult for the sheep, and he prepares the ground and the tableland that he's going to lead them in. I believe the Lord does that for us, don't you? I believe the Lord, He knows where we're going before we go, and He scouts it out. And if He allows an enemy or a temptation or a trial, we can know that He said about that, they can handle it. They can deal with it. There's nothing left to chance with the Lord. He prepares and He goes before us. And He helps us in all of the things that we come across. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Or the Hebrew in there is the waters of rest. The Lord knows that a happy, contented, restful sheep is a healthy sheep. And the Lord knows that a sheep that is full of good food is a restful sheep. So that they all join together. The shepherd knows that when he can feed the flock and keep them nourished with good things, that those sheep will lie down, they'll rest. If we this morning are not resting in the Lord, maybe it's because we are hungry for more of what the Lord has for us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm thinking this morning, going past the surface words, think of the heart of the shepherd, how that he always has our good in mind. The Lord always has our good in mind. He is constantly thinking ahead to eternity for us. I want you with me in eternity. And so he deals with things in the light of eternity. He deals with things in how he knows we are and how this particular weakness or sin or struggle he knows would keep us from eternity with him. So he's going to pinpoint it. He's going to deal with it. He's going to work with us according to how we are. He restoreth my soul. I'm so thankful for how the Lord takes care of us when we get out of sorts and veer off the path. I know, I remember so clear one time. We were going to bed at night, and I was struggling in my mind, and I was thinking thoughts against the Lord. Someone was suffering that I loved, and I couldn't understand it, and I was accusing the Lord of being sadistic, somebody who loved to see people suffer. And I knew that wasn't right to think that way of the Lord, but it was just like I was in a stump. I just couldn't get through that. Dan said, "Are you all right?" He said, "What's bothering you?" And I said, "Nothing." I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to tell him what I was thinking. I went to bed like that, and the Lord gave me a precious dream. He let me see the loved one who was suffering in a way that made it all make sense. In that dream, the loved one who was suffering, it faded and it turned into Jesus on the cross. And I realized the purpose of our suffering is that we are identifying with Jesus on his cross, and he is there with us. We are suffering with him. And I was so amazed. I woke up and I sat up in bed and I began sobbing with repentance that I had thought those thoughts against God. And I woke up with this verse in my ears: "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." The Lord may cause suffering and pain in our lives. He may allow it to come, not cause it, but allow it to come, permit it to come. But he always returns with healing, with comfort. That's the heart of the shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He does that when he leads us in these green pastures and beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't deny it. He doesn't say all Christians will be kept from the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't say that. He walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us, because we're going to go there. There are people who go through the valley of the shadow of death multiple times in their lives with their loved ones. And there are some people that you look at them and you think, how do they do that? Well, the Lord walks with them. I know I'm passing over many things here, but I have more scriptures that I want to look at. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I have always felt like that rod and staff are his word and his Holy Spirit. They are right there with us in the valley of the shadow of death. Thou preparest, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now that is a precious thought. When he talks about that, he's speaking of his experience as a shepherd. How that he would take his sheep and he would pour oil upon their heads, because their heads would get so irritated by flies and insects, and they could actually begin to bore holes in a sheep and it go all the way to the brain. Those insects and flies would just irritate and make that sheep go mad. But he, the shepherd, would put the oil on the sheep's head and coat it and keep it and comfort it and soothe it. That's what the Lord does for us. The thoughts, the insinuations, the accusations, the worries, the frets, all of those whisperings from Satan and unbelief and resentment and pride, all of those things. We need the Lord's Holy Spirit, the oil. We need him to put it on our heads, keep our hearts and our minds. We need his peace and we need his comfort. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another place he talks to the Lord in Psalms 80. He says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." So here he's saying that the people, God's people, were the flock and he was the shepherd. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's the shepherd, and we are the sheep. Well, one thing about sheep is they tend to follow things and go astray. And that's what we have done. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I believe the reason why he can be such a wonderful shepherd is because he became a sheep for our sakes. He took on him our humanity. He suffered and died for us. And he knows how to help us now because he's been there. He's been touched with all that we've been touched. But it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And it talks in other places about his people being like lost sheep. There was a parable in the New Testament. Jesus talked about the shepherd going out and leaving the 99 and looking after the one that was lost. The shepherd caring about that. Now here we can see the heart of the shepherd in this verse, where he doesn't say, well, number 47 is lost. Good riddance. I don't care. Let them be lost. They've been wanting to get out anyway. No, the shepherd goes and looks for the lost one. We sing a song that says, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, now and forever my boasting shall be. Over the mountains where lonely I wandered, Jesus my Savior came looking for me. We can each say that the Lord came looking for us when we were lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. He's not only taken our iniquity and become a sheep and taken our experience and was made like us, but he's looked for us. He's gone down the road. He's gone out into the field. He's come looking for us. That's the heart of the shepherd. He cares for the lambs. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I don't know how many times as a young mother I leaned on this verse. A mother who's carrying children before they're born. The Lord is very compassionate and tender. And those of our children, we can be assured that the Lord carries our children. He gathers the lambs with his arm, with his arm. But that's not just our literal young and babies. It's the spiritual ones too. When you're a spiritual babe, when you're a spiritual lamb, he feeds you. He makes sure you're fed. If you and I will seek after him and read his word and be hungry for him, he will feed his flock like a shepherd, it says. He will gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. There was a story told that someone met a shepherd one time and he had a lamb in his arm. And the lamb's legs had been broken. And they questioned the shepherd, why are the lamb's legs broken and now put in a bandage? He said, this little lamb kept running away. And I had to break his legs. And I had to put him in a splint so that they can heal. And while he's healing, I'm carrying him. Now that's what the Lord sometimes does in our lives. We have to be broken so we won't run away. That's the heart of the shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now I want to speak a little bit about him feeding his flock like a shepherd. In Jeremiah, speaking to the children of Israel about how they had gone astray. Let me see if this is what I was looking for. Jeremiah 3. In verse 12, he told Jeremiah to say to the people, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. Verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And it says in verse 15, I will give you pastors. That word pastor is the same word for shepherd. It means the shepherd. I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So spiritually, the Lord's way of feeding us is to give us understanding and knowledge of Him. He said, I'll give you pastors. The best way I can tell you about that is to remind you of what He told Peter. After Peter had denied Him three times, and Jesus had been crucified, and then rose again, and then He reappeared and walked with His disciples. Remember the time that He walked on the sea and they were on the shore? I believe it was. Well, anyway, maybe it was the opposite way. They came to Him. Well, let me just get it because I can do it better. John chapter 21, I believe it is. Just bear with me, I'm still learning this new Bible. John 21. Okay, the disciples were out on the sea. They had said, we're going fishing. So they went out on the sea. They came to land and saw someone on the shore. They didn't know who it was until finally they said, it's the Lord. He was out there on the shore and they came and He had lunch ready. Fish on the fire. Bread, fish. Remember that song? It says, the disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master said unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. So He satisfies the hungry all the time. Well, so He fed them literally bread and fish. And He said, bring the fish that you caught. Well, there were so many that it broke the net. So He came and He showed Himself to the disciples and said, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And He pointed to the fish that was Peter's livelihood. Peter, you used these fish to make money, but do you love me more than that? And He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And that it helps us to connect these two things. Loving the Lord is connected with having His heart for others and feeding lambs. The little his young people. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because He said unto him the third time. But Peter, you denied Him three times. The Lord's just making sure. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Thankful that Peter did what Jesus told him to do. He went and he became a power of comfort and spiritual strength to people. And when you read in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, but there's several places in 1 Peter that he refers to the Lord's people as sheep. I think that's just kind of pointing right back. He always kept that in his mind. I'm in charge of the Lord's sheep. So the Lord has pastors, which means shepherds, that are to have His same heart. And there's a difference between I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but let's go to John 10. John 10 is like the New Testament Psalm 23. It talks about Jesus being the shepherd. John 10. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, it's a little bit confusing because after a while, Jesus said, "I am the door." Okay, if Jesus is the door, I mean, he's also the shepherd and he enters by the door. That always confused me. I was like, okay, what's this really talking about? But what did Jesus do that no one else did? Paul asked this question, "Was I crucified for you?" No, Jesus was the only one. In this case, I really believe the door was that Jesus gave his life for his sheep. And that, it goes on to tell this, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He said, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way." So you have the thought of a fold of sheep, some sheep securely gated in, and a door there. And the shepherd in ancient times, he would lay down in the only opening that was left in the corral. So if those sheep wanted out, they had to go physically over the shepherd. The shepherd was the door. And anyway, let's just talk about his heart here. He entered by the door, which means he gave his life for the sheep. And it goes on to show this here, down in here in verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." It's in the Lord's heart that he loved his sheep so much. He not only went after them, and he went chased them down, and he not only feeds them, he not only prepares the table before them, he not only protects them from the insects and the things that would get to them, the diseases of a sheep's skin. This is the ultimate. He gave his life for the sheep. This is the shepherd's heart. He gave his life for them, and he's the one that came in the door. That was the door to the sheepfold, was a crucified Jesus. "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And Jesus said in verse 7, "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." There was something phony. There was something heartless. There was something not right about someone who tried to be the leader, to push the sheep, to control the sheep, to somehow own the sheep, but they weren't his. He talks about this. They were thieves and robbers. The sheep couldn't recognize their voice. There was not the tender care there. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out." And my dad used to say, you'd go into the spiritual life and go out into the, not back out into sin, but out into pasture land and find pasture. "The sheep, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's the shepherd's heart. And whenever you find anywhere, any person, anything, any teaching that does not bring life and more abundant life, you have reason to suspect it. It's not of the shepherd. It's something else. It's a thief or a robber. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. The good shepherd is the one who gave his life for the sheep. All others who did not give their life for the sheep don't belong to them. They're not his own. His own are those that he gave his life for, who have given him their lives, who trust in him. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. Someone who was hired to do the job is different from someone who has an interest in it. Jesus Christ has a vested interest in us because he became us. He took upon us, him, our sins. He was our substitute. He has us in his heart. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. When something looks and sounds and smells like a stranger, it's a stranger. When you have been hearing the shepherd's voice and you know his voice always leads you on and leads you into life and more abundant life, and then you hear a voice that doesn't do that, don't follow that voice. You follow the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd, it says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What does the scripture say? They are the sons of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. They're his sheep. Verse 3, it says, the sheep hear his voice. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now I want to go back to Jeremiah and just read this a little bit. Please stay with me, because these are spiritually some lessons that God wanted us to know as his people. Where I read there, it says, I will give pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then you go to Ezekiel chapter 34. He talks here, just like he talked in John 10 about the hireling. He talks in Ezekiel about false shepherds. And this verse 1, 34 and 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Again, you have here someone who does not care for the sheep. Someone who couldn't care less if the sheep are lost or diseased or hurt or running or whatever. He said, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool and you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken. All of this tells us what's in the heart of the shepherd. And the Lord wants to put that kind of love and care into the heart of a true little shepherd. When the Lord gives you a shepherd, this is what he wants that shepherd to have. It convicts me. Neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. What a sad picture. This is a picture of the Pharisees. And this is a picture of all false shepherds who do not care for the sheep. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Oh, you can keep on reading. He pronounces a great woe upon those shepherds who do that. I knew some people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where a great famous evangelist lived at one time. and they worked in his offices. And he would constantly plead for money. And if you gave money, then he would pray for you, and he would remember your requests, and you would get healed. But these people said that when the mail would come in, they would open the mail, get the money out, and throw the letter away. That's a false shepherd. He didn't care for those people's prayer requests. He didn't pray for them, neither did his staff. What a sad thing to think about people who put their trust in a shepherd and they're not fed nor cared for by these false shepherds. Talk about a hireling. All that shepherd was there for was their money. And that is just like many, many in the world today who do not care for God's sheep. They don't feed them. They don't preach God's word to them. They preach light things, jokes, funny stories, current events, sports events, you name it. They get up and they talk about these things, but they do not feed the sheep. Jesus talked about to Peter, "Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep." He goes on and he says in verse 11, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search out my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." And talks about how, verse 14, "I will feed them in a good pasture." Verse 15, "I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." But he wants us to have a shepherd's heart and look out and seek after people, because people aren't being fed today. People are scattered and they're out there and no one's going after them, but he's wanting us to. Think about a story that we've read about John the Apostle. John the Apostle had taken a young man and raised him. And he was a Christian. He loved the Lord. And he was an up-and-coming leader. John saw those qualities in him. John had to be called away, and he gave this young man into the care of another pastor there. And said, "You take care of him, and you teach him, and you discipline him. He still needs your discipline." Well, he got busy, and the young man slipped away. He got underneath the influences of people who were no good. And he actually became the leader of a band of robbers, the worst of the criminals. He carried the weapons, and he did the murders. Well, when John came back, he came to the leader and he said, "Where's the young man that I left in your care?" "Oh, he's lost. He's dead." He said, "He's really dead?" "No, but he's as good as dead." John said, "Where is he?" "You can't go there. John, you can't go there. He'll kill you. He's in." Then he told him where the area was, where the band of robbers lived. He said, "Don't go there. They're dangerous." John was an old man by that time. He said, "I've got to find him." And so they came. The outpost guard met him. He said, "Take me to your leader." And he didn't hurt him. He said, "This is John the Apostle." He respected him. He took him. When the young man saw him, he began weeping. And John fasted and prayed and worked with him. And it took a long time to break him down, but he broke him down. He went after that young man and he brought him back. Of course, I've left out some of the details, but that's a story. It's a true story about John the Apostle. He had a shepherd's heart. The Lord's heart is constantly looking after and looking people. I'll just have to say, the other day I met a person who once loved the Lord. And I could feel it in me the shepherd's heart for that person. And now she's far away from God. But a verse from the scripture was in my mind the whole time I was with her. And it said, I remember you and the love of your espousals when you were young. That's in Isaiah, I think it is. Maybe it's Jeremiah. The Lord still loves her and still wants her. Let me just read just this little part here. He said, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, or your first married love, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. The Lord still wants to reach out and get a hold of people, even though they've been a lost sheep. Well, that's a wonderful thing about the shepherd. Let's see. There's another scripture that I wanted to get right in here. I don't want to forget it. Verse 23, still in Ezekiel 34, it says, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now, wait a minute. This is way after David was dead. Who is that he's talking about? The son of David, Jesus. He fulfilled this prophecy. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. So, Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. Peter, in his book, 1 Peter, chapter 5, he's talking to the elders or the leaders of the people, and he said in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. So we have it. Jesus said to Peter, you feed my flock. And so Peter said to the elders there, you feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint or not because somebody's making you. Remember the attributes of the good shepherd. The hireling does it because somebody hired him to. The sheep don't belong to him. But the true shepherd or the true pastor has the shepherd's heart, which is, these are like my own. These are like my own children. I nourished them and brought them up. I care for them. Nobody's making me do this. He said, take the oversight or look after them, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I never forget, Dan came home from a business trip one time and he said, well, I thought I'd seen everything or heard everything. But he said, I was sitting next to a couple guys on the plane and they were talking about their newest business venture. And the one of them said, well, I started a church. He said, I figured it was the best way that I could make money. That makes you just, it's just sickening. Do people really do this? Do they really? Well, the scripture says something about, and I don't know where this is, but it says that they make merchandise of you. They use people to make money. That's not a shepherd's heart, is it? The Lord wants to give your soul a true shepherd. He said, not for filthy lucre, which is talking about money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. We're shepherds, not kings. We don't have dominion over your faith, the scripture says, but we just are helpers to your joy. There is a connection that every soul has to God of his or her own self. And even the shepherd doesn't have dominion over that. But the shepherd is there to feed. To feed. That's what God, and also what did he say there in Ezekiel 34 to, oh, I just want to get that one place there where he said, to heal that which was sick, bind up that which is broken, bring again that which is driven away, seek that which is lost. That's the duty of the shepherd, to feed them, to be an example. He said, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in sample or example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So Peter was passing on the legacy or the charge that had been given him. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And he's saying here, you feed the sheep. Paul also told the people at Ephesus as he was leaving. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ah, now we know. The sheep, not just the children of Israel, not just Jews, but God's church, his people. And who is that? Who is the church? It's those who have been saved. It's not people who come in this door. It's people who have been saved. They're everywhere. But the thing is, are they being fed everywhere? I hope so. I hope there's more fed than what I fear. But whenever I think about the examples that I just mentioned to you, there are some pastors out there that are not true. The Lord said, I want to give you a true pastor. I thank the Lord for people in my lifetime that have fed my soul. He said, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The flock, he said one time, he said, beware of ravening wolves who come to you in sheep's clothing. So here he's talking about people who have a wolf nature to devour and to harm and to hurt. And I know people like that today. We all know people like that. And God wants us to be, he wants to protect us from people like that. I noted there in 1 Peter 5, where he said the chief shepherd. When you find a group of people that call somebody the chief somebody, that's the sign on that particular group. The chief is Jesus. There is no chief somebody here. We're all the flock as far as that goes, even the little shepherds. We all answer to the chief shepherd. But where you have somebody who says, yeah, he's the chief shepherd, that's Jesus alone. Well, maybe that will be enough for now. There are other things, other analogies in John 10 and in Psalm 23. I could warn you about the wolves. We kind of know about that. Another, just one more. Let me get this here in John 10 and 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Wherever you are, listen to the shepherd. Hear his voice. If it's somebody who doesn't have a shepherd's heart, who is making merchandise of you, who sounds strange, this is not, wait a minute, that doesn't even sound like the Bible, then don't follow it. If it's superstition, check everything out by the Bible. You have the right to do that, even with the things that I tell you. Check it out with the Bible. If it's not true, then you need to come and say, you're not preaching the truth. What about this? This is not what the Bible says. I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I don't see this as saying that a person could never become an unbeliever again, because the rest of the Bible says that it can. The rest of the Bible says, behold the goodness and severity of God, toward thee goodness and toward them severity, toward thee goodness if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. So there is a place in the scriptures where we could become an unbeliever again. He said, beware lest any of you fall from your own steadfastness. Beware lest any of you be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So those are those scriptures that balance this one out. But if you and I do what this said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we keep ourselves in that place, we'll never perish. Isn't that a secure feeling? The Lord, he said, they're in my hand. And you, no one can pluck them out of my hand. When we hear his voice and follow him. Amen. I trust this will follow you, this little message, and we'll meditate on it and continue to learn from it.